Mark chapter 5 from verse 21. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there comes one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, "My little daughter lies at the point of death. I pray, come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live." And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, and touched his garment. For she said, "If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the multitude thronging you, and do you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, "Daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace and be whole of your plague." While he yet spoke, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house servant, which said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble you the master any further?" As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he says to the ruler of the synagogue, "Be not afraid, only believe." And he suffered no one to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he comes to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and sees the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he says to them, "Why make you this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleeps." And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he takes the father and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and enters in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand, and said unto her, "Talitha kumi," which is being interpreted, "Damsel, I say unto thee, arise." And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no one should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. May the Lord bless that reading of his word to us tonight. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Speak to us, we pray. Bless us in Jesus' name. Bless us in your word. Oh, open to us, Lord, the riches of your grace, wonders of salvation, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. We have looked at this chapter not so long ago on a Sunday, but now it's part of the Bible study sequence. Jairus and his daughter. The Bible starts here in verse 21 by telling us that Jesus passed over again by ship to the other side. Well, the other side was where they'd come from originally. Then they went to Gadara, where Legion was. And then they came back, and they've come back, in my understanding, to Capernaum again. The other side, where they'd started from. And there were much people there. Jesus was there. Much people.
That's right.
Come. Near the sea. And Jairus, who it tells us here that he was one of the rulers of the synagogue, came. Now, because I believe it to be Capernaum, it's important to understand, I think, the testimony that has been going around.
Yes.
Jairus was a ruler of the synagogue. And yet, he's coming expecting something from Jesus.
Yes.
He's not carried away with the attitude of so many of the scribes and the Pharisees. And I think it's because this is Capernaum. He's a ruler of the synagogue. And we know that Jesus went to the synagogue. And again he went to the synagogue. And again he went to the synagogue. And Jairus had heard the teaching of Jesus. In chapter 1 it says he talked there with authority, not as the scribes.
Right.
Now the scribes may not have been happy with that. But for someone like Jairus, he would sit up and take notice. This man knows what he's talking about. He's speaking with authority. And he had seen the things that Jesus had done in that synagogue. He had seen the man with the unclean spirit and the demon cast out of him. He had seen healings and demons cast out in the city. And no doubt, he'd heard about, maybe he was there, he'd heard about the roof coming off the top of that house and the fellas letting their sick friend down and Jesus saying, "Your sins be forgiven you."
Yes.
And the horror that brought amongst the scribes and the Pharisees and those who were of a religious ilk. And Jesus said, "So that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins," he said to the sick of the palsy, "Arise, take up your bed and walk."
Amen.
And he'd seen the marvellous healing that had taken place. The most important thing was the forgiveness of sins. And yet in the minds of those watching, much more difficult was the healing of the palsy, of the paralysis.
That's right.
And he's seen the man in the synagogue with a withered hand. And Jesus said, "Stretch it forth. It's the Sabbath day. You shouldn't do that."
Yes.
But he'd seen it all. And he'd seen the great crowd of people from many parts of the country.
From
different backgrounds. Following Jesus. And now his daughter, 12 years of age, is on the point of death. She is dying. She's on the point of... the Greek word is actually eschatos. She's on the part of departure. She's on the point of departure.
Yes.
He's got a great need. And he comes to Jesus, one whom he has seen meeting the needs of so many people in a mighty and miraculous way.
Right.
And when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He had come to know and to recognize who Jesus is.
Yes.
As a devout Jew, he would not have fallen at the feet of any man in that way, an attitude of worship. In fact, in Matthew's Gospel, it says, "There came a certain ruler and worshipped him."
Yes.
He fell at his feet. He knew who Jesus is.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And he spoke words of faith. You know, that's very important. He spoke words of faith. He was expecting something.
Yes.
In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 it says, "But without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him."
Amen.
And it says, using the verb that comes from parakletos, he called alongside Jesus.
Yes.
He came alongside Jesus and called to him. Parakaleo. Isn't it lovely that you can get alongside Jesus and talk to him?
Amen.
Just as the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, speaks and calls alongside us. If we're filled with his Spirit, we can know that communion and fellowship with God. And Jairus could begin to know a fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, one who could understand his needs and be sympathetic and meet those needs. And he called from alongside and he says, "My little daughter is at the point of departure, is at the point of death." And in Luke's Gospel chapter 8, he says, "For he had one only daughter."
Yes.
Doesn't make that clear in Mark, but in Luke it tells it was his only daughter.
Amen.
And he's calling in faith because he has seen the Master meet the needs.
Yes.
And he believes. He's come for something. "Lord, come." He asks in faith. It's not a "if you can," "if you will," but he's calling in faith. And he says, "Come." Here's the faith. It's positive. He's expecting something.
Yes, come.
There's no if there. "Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she shall live."
Glory.
It's all positive. He's got a faith that's growing inside him. And the Lord honours such faith. And Jesus, it says, without any to do, it just says, and Jesus went with him.
That's right.
Oh, how compassionate the Lord is. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Jesus went with him. And as we've been reading this, we become aware of another person entering into the story.
Yes.
And for Jairus, it's probably an annoying interruption. Because time is of the essence.
Yes.
In Jairus' mind, he's got to get there before she dies. But Jairus is going to learn a lesson or two about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he can do.
It's a resurrection.
But how often is it the case when we need to move with the Lord and we need to see the Lord working in our lives and things seem to go well for a while and then we hit a problem. There's a hold up somewhere. There's a snag. Just keep trusting the Lord.
Yes.
Just keep trusting him. He was with Jairus all the time, but he was stopped in the journey by a woman. The crowds were thronging around Jesus. They pressed against him.
Yes.
That's the idea of thronging. It's pressing against. It was slow progress anyway. And you can imagine Jairus, he wished these crowds would get out of the way. We could run. And then a woman who had had an issue of blood. In other words, she was hemorrhaging. Nothing could stop it. And because she had an issue of blood, according to Leviticus, she was unclean.
Yes.
She wouldn't have been allowed in the synagogue. And she's had this issue of blood, this hemorrhaging, for 12 years. Jairus' daughter was 12 years old, and for all her healthy life, this woman had had a living death for 12 years. It matches, 12 years.
Yes.
She was an outcast, really, in the mind of any Jew that observed the law.
That's right.
Unclean. And she had no help from the doctors, from the physicians. She spent everything.
Yeah.
And was no better. In fact, she was worse. That's how it can be sometimes. The more we try to solve our own problems, the bigger the problem comes. But when she heard of Jesus, isn't that a lovely
Thank
phrase?
You.
When people hear of Jesus, things can change.
Amen.
Impossible situations can be dealt with.
Yes.
And when she heard of Jesus, people need to hear of Jesus in our area.
Yeah.
People with many needs, they need to hear of Jesus.
That's right.
We've got to tell them. When she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind. She didn't want anybody to know. She didn't even want Jesus to know. Unobserved. She didn't want to people to know about her condition, unclean in the sight of the Jews that observed the law. And she reached out and touched his clothes. There was no easy way through, you see. The crowds were thronging Jesus. But she put it in her mind, as we've read here tonight, she's put it in her mind that if I can just touch the hem of his garment. It says in Matthew 9, verse 20. The hem of his garment. She said, in Mark's Gospel it says here, if I could just touch his clothes. And Matthew brings out the fact that she was going to touch just the hem of his garment. She might not even be able to reach through all the crowd to touch his garments completely, but just a touch of the hem, the very end. That was her faith. If I could just touch it, I'll be healed. It must have had an effect, this healing of this woman. Because sometime later, the story occurs earlier in Matthew, but in Matthew chapter 14, In verse 34 it says, and when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all that country round about, and brought unto him all that were diseased, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched were made perfectly whole. The message must have got about. This woman touched the hem of his garment, she was healed. There was no magic in the garment. It wasn't the garment that healed her. It was the act of faith. It was the power of the Lord. But you see, others were inspired to reach out and touch the Lord. She had faith. And she had a point of contact for her faith. She couldn't come face to face with Jesus. She couldn't even get through the crowd to touch his garments completely and get a hold of them. But she could crawl through and just about touch the hem of his garment. And immediately, is that word again. Straightway.
Yes.
Immediately. It's the servant word. Straightway, the fountain of her blood dried up. Hallelujah.
Glory.
Hallelujah. The fountain of her blood dried up there and then. It stopped.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
And it says, and she felt in her body that she was healed. She knew it. She was better.
Yes.
That plague was gone. This was no mind over matter thing. It wasn't the power of her mind. It was faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and
yes.
his goodness. It was faith in the Lord. It was a miracle by faith in God. Beware of people that keep talking to you about you've got to get the right mind and get the right attitude. And you've got to get faith.
Praise the Lord.
Nothing to do with the power of your mind.
No.
It's faith in the power of God and the promises of God. And immediately, Jesus stopped. Who touched me? He knew that the woman had been healed.
Yes.
He knew It says here that virtue had gone out of him. It's actually the word dunamis. I don't know why they've translated virtue, because it said he knew that power had gone out of him. Hallelujah. And he turned in the press. He said, "Who touched my clothes?" It was just a little fingertip touch of the hem of his garment. He couldn't have felt that. The crowds were thronging him.
Yes.
He felt that power. He allowed that power to him. He knew all about that woman. Hallelujah. She wasn't taking anything from him unbeknown to him. He knew. But he wanted that confession of faith from the woman. Who touched me? Who touched my clothes? And the disciples said, "They're all pushing and shoving you, Lord. What do you mean, who touched you? They're all touching you." Ah, this was a special touch. It was a touch of faith. And he got the response from Jesus of the healing that she wanted.
Yes.
It didn't come from Jesus, he was unaware of it. He knew. He was all part of that healing. He was reaching out to the woman.
Yes.
But he wanted that response of that commitment of faith. He looked round about to see her that had done this thing. He says, "Who touched me?" And he looked round about to see her who had done this thing. He knew it was this woman.
Yeah.
And the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him. Worship again. She fell down before him and told him all the truth. And Jesus said, lovely word. And Jesus said to her, she's maybe afraid that she's done something wrong. Jesus said to her, "Daughter, you're part of the family." Hallelujah.
Yes. Glory.
There's a new relationship. Daughter, no longer an outcast, but part of the family of God.
Amen.
By faith, she'd got more than just the healing.
Glory.
Of this issue of blood. To become a child of God. Her faith was rewarded. Your faith has made you whole. Bodily, physically and spiritually.
Amen.
Go in peace and be whole of your plague. In other words, it won't come back. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. What a wonderful story that is. I wonder how Jairus is getting on. If you imagine. Come on, Lord, time is of the essence. But you know what the Bible says? It says that all things work together for good to them that love God, who are the called, according to his purpose. As far as Jairus was concerned, there'd been a hold-up. It was a nuisance. There'd been a blessing, yeah. But you see, Jesus is never too busy for anyone.
That's right.
Not even on this emergency call to a dying girl. He wasn't too busy to ignore this woman who came in faith.
That's right. Glory.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Your fight is not too busy to hear your heart's cry. Passing by this moment, your need to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by.
Amen.
But Jairus is understandably anxious. It's his only daughter who's dying. It's only natural. But Jesus knows that too. He cares. And those anxieties of Jairus were confirmed when suddenly messengers from his house appeared saying, "Don't bother the master any longer. Your daughter is dead." Oh, if only we'd hurried. But no. But in that episode with the woman, Jairus had a very important lesson and demonstration of the place and the power of faith.
Yes.
It was no accident that she was there. It was of the will of God that she was there.
Yes.
She was there for her healing, yes, but she was there also to teach Jairus the lessons of the power of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
He knew from what he saw that all things are possible.
Yes.
And this woman's act of faith was a lesson to Jairus. The act itself, touching the hem of the garment, was almost insignificant. But the faith behind it was mighty faith in God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
The only action she could manage was just brushing with her fingertips, arm at full stretch, through all the legs of the people, the hem of his garment. Not even touching Jesus, just the hem of his garment. But that was her point of faith. That was her point of contact. And he wouldn't even have noticed it, normally speaking. But he did. She was healed instantly. What a lesson of faith for Jairus. She was healed instantly. He may well have known her and her problems. Maybe she was one that he had to watch for to make sure in her unclean condition she didn't come into the synagogue. What a lesson for Jairus, who is now in what seems to be a hopeless and desperate situation. Your daughter is dead. But with God, all things are possible.
Thank you, Lord.
And Jesus heard the message of the messengers. If you've got a New International Version, tear that page out. The New International Version says, ignoring what they said, but they're translating from a different manuscript than the received text.
Yes.
The received text says that immediately, straight away, is that word again?
Yeah.
It's translated as soon as,
yes,
in the Authorised Version. But immediately, when Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he didn't ignore it. He said to Jairus, be not afraid,
yeah,
only believe.
Yes.
Hallelujah. What love.
Amen.
What compassion. Hallelujah. In Mark 9 and verse 23, Jesus is speaking to that man who had brought his demon-possessed son to the disciples and they couldn't cast out the demon. And then Jesus came. And then Jesus came.
Amen.
And he said, if you can believe,
yes,
all things are possible to him that believes.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And the man said, Lord, I believe. And with a phrase that we can sympathise with, he said, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief.
Yeah.
Sweep that out the back door. Let me believe, and believe only. You know, one first epistle of John, first epistle of John chapter 4, verse 18, he says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. Oh, no fear in love. Jesus loves this man. Jesus loves the daughter that he's going to raise again, to bring to life again. And in Luke chapter 8, verse 50, Jesus in this story of Jairus says to Jairus, fear not. Fear has torment. There is no fear in love.
Yes.
Fear not. Believe only. And she shall be made whole.
Yes.
What a promise.
Glory.
You know, God, Jesus gave him that promise so that Jairus could go into his house in faith.
Yes.
Not in despair, not in doubt,
yes,
but in faith. I've got a promise from God. I've got a promise from the Lord.
Yes.
She shall be made whole. Get hold of the promises of God.
Glory.
Get hold of the promises of God. They're in the Bible. Yes. Get hold of the promises of God and believe and trust them. And the Lord will do what he has promised to do.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Jesus comes into the house. And you know what Jesus wants? He wants that faith to blossom and to possess all that he's trusting God for. What does he do? He throws out all the unbelievers. He doesn't want them around. He got rid of the doubters. And he took only Peter and James and John.
Yes.
Those three disciples that were close to him.
Yes.
Peter, James and John. And the mother and the father of the young girl. In verse 39 here. And when he was come in, he says to them, why do you make this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleeps.
Yes.
And here all the unbelievers,
yeah,
they laughed him to scorn. And the next sentence says, and when he had put them all out, he took them into Peter, James and John, and the mother and father, into where the girl was lying, dead. Jesus said, here it is, Jesus said, the damsel is not dead. He'd said that to the crowds. She's just sleeping. He took the damsel by the hand. All the doubters had been thrown out. Peter, James and John. Mum and Dad. Jairus is a man of faith now, I believe. Jairus is a man of faith. He'll comfort his wife in that faith. He's got a promise from Jesus.
Amen.
She shall be made whole. The disciples know their Lord. And Jesus takes the damsel by the hand. And he speaks to her in Aramaic, Talitha Kumi. Damsel, I say to you, arise. And here's that word again. And straightway,
yes,
immediately,
yes,
hallelujah, she arose and walked.
Yes.
She'd been weak, she'd been dying. She arose and walked.
Amen.
Hallelujah. 12 years of age. And it says there in the end of verse 42, and they were astonished with a great astonishment. That's a very weak translation. They were astonished with a great astonishment. Let's translate it a bit better, shall we?
Yes.
And they were beside themselves with a great ecstasy.
Yes.
And an ecstasy is being beside yourself.
Yes.
You're standing outside of yourself. Ecstasy. That's the word in Greek, ecstasis. They were beside themselves with a great ecstasy.
Yes.
Hallelujah. That's the word that's used of Peter when it says in the Authorised Version, when he was in Joppa, that he fell into a trance. He didn't fall into a trance.
Yes.
It actually says an ecstasy. The Greek actually says an ecstasy fell upon him.
Yes.
He didn't fall into anything. I don't know why they translate it, but it doesn't say that. It doesn't say that he fell into a trance. It says an ecstasy fell upon him.
Yes.
He wasn't in a trance. He could see what was happening. He knew what was happening.
Yes.
And all those that saw this were in that same ecstatic state, beside themselves with joy. Bless the Lord. And Jesus said, don't tell anyone. Sometimes it's wise. Be wise in what you say. Be wise in what you share. Sometimes you share something and it's just open to mockery. And with all those doubters that were there and all those that laughed him to scorn, he didn't want them mocking the work of God. Treat as precious what you've seen. Treat as precious what you've experienced. Treasure it. And give them something to eat. You see, this isn't magic. This is the power of the Lord.
Yes.
She's alive. Now give her something to eat.
Yes.
Hallelujah. There's food in the house. There's no need to do the breaking of bread, you know, the feeding of the 5,000. There's bread in the house. There's food in the house. Give her something to eat. Do something practical. Praise the Lord. What a wonderful story that is.
Thank you, Lord.
And out of that, we see the wonderful ways of the Lord, his love for us, his power, and the wonderful salvation that is ours in him. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Praise his wonderful name.